Good afternoon and welcome to For the Cause of Christ, the radio ministry of the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood. The church is under the direction of its pastor, John Lutz. Stay tuned for a message straight and direct from the Word of God. Here now with this week's message is Pastor John Lutz.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to our broadcast today. We are so thankful that you've tuned in to be with us today. We've got a very special program scheduled for you today dealing with some election topics. And I am proud and privileged to welcome to the broadcast today Pastor Al Davis, and he is going to be sitting in with us today as we talk about this election cycle, some of the things about it. Pastor Al, how are you today?
I'm doing well, John, and thanks for letting me come on. And I just want to mention, too, that you are going to be on with me at 1:30 on our program. So if you're listening, I hope you'll stick with us for the whole hour. And then, of course, Pastor Rusnacko is going to be on after us with, I'm sure, a great challenge from God's Word.
And a great challenge after this broadcast, people to stay and listen.
Well, that's true. Hopefully after this broadcast, they'll want to stay and listen.
So. I'd love to see the statistics after my broadcast at 1 o'clock, what we lose at 1:30 or 2. Or how many tune in at 1:30 rather than they wait till 1:30 to tune in. So anyway, we are excited. We're going to do a talk about some things about the election today. Obviously all the information about the church, our services, we obviously want to welcome you to come to any of our services, but all that information will be at the end of the first half hour for our church. And then, the second half hour for Brother Al's church for the, Richfield Bible Baptist, church there. And of course ours is North Coast Baptist and we are in Lakewood. Well, we want to go ahead and jump right in and get started and talk about some things about the election. And obviously, this has been a very tiring election cycle. It's been a very engaging election cycle. It's certainly one of the most divisive that I think we've probably seen in quite a while. And so we really want to hone in today and talk about, for the most part, and we'll kind of veer off along the way, Brother Al, about really, should we be looking at a third-party candidate? What happens, when we do go third-party candidate? Because they say after the debate on Sunday night, the search engines for Google, Yahoo, and those things, the one of the number one searches was about write-in candidates and those type of things. So it's obviously people are looking at these things, and I think we have to look at it from a very practical point of view, and I think that's what we're going to try to do today, and look at those things. By the way, in the second half hour, we'll give you an opportunity to call in. If you have a specific question regarding the election, we're going to invite you to do that, so we'll do that in the second half hour. But Brother Al, I want to start with this idea. Christians, of course, we as Baptists as well, We look at Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon, and we talk about, he's often referred to as the Prince of Preachers, and obviously revered in many of his, one preacher said, he's got more contained in one sermon than I've had 15 years in my life of preaching. He was a very deep, intimate preacher with the Lord, obviously, first of all. But there's a very famous quote out there that talks about what to do when presented with the choice of two evils. And basically his response is to choose neither. And I don't know about you, Brother Al, and I kind of want to get your idea on this. I've heard some people talk about this. Well, that's what we, you're presented with two evils. You don't choose either of them. One, does this quote even apply to what we're dealing with? And should Christians, take heed to this? What do you think?
Well, absolutely, Brother John. And we think about it, and on the surface, you would say, well, of course this applies. We're making a choice here. But I don't think that Spurgeon was talking about electing public officials here, for one thing. I think he was talking about matters of behavior and our conduct and things like that when we're debating courses of action. And so people try to apply this to the election, but it's like I've said, when you're looking at a presidential race or any political campaign, we're always choosing between the lesser of two evils,
sure,
because we're not dealing with perfect people, where the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Right.
The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. So by the very fact that we are choosing between two flawed, regardless of the race, regardless of the year, right, all the way back to the first presidential election,
right,
we've always chosen between two flawed individuals, and sometimes it's a choice of which individual do we think will do the best job, and sometimes, quite frankly, it's a choice of which individual do we think will do the worst job.
Right.
And so we're either voting for somebody or against somebody. It's very rare that we have a clear-cut choice in the matter of electing somebody in particular to the office of president, where we have a clear-cut choice between somebody who is clearly a righteous person versus somebody who's clearly a reprobate.
Right.
And so one of these two flawed individuals is going to be the next president of the United States. From my point of view, my conscience, I want my heart to be right with God, and I want to do the best that I can to use my vote to ensure that the issues that I think are near and dear to God's heart, for instance, protecting the unborn,
right,
the sanctity of marriage, things like that,
sure,
that those issues are going to be upheld. So I have to look at two flawed individuals and say, which one of these individuals will either help further the cause of the pro-life cause or hinder the pro-life cause? Which individual is going to further the defense of marriage, biblical marriage between a man and a woman, or is going to continue to destroy it? And, you know, I think the choices are pretty obvious.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think, you know, one of the neat things about the internet today, there is a lot of information out there.
Mm-hmm.
And thankfully, there are good sources of journalism and reporting that are going on. Obviously, we know there's plenty of bad ones too, in that sense. But, you know, one of the great things is, you know, we can research these, we can see these, you know, and I think to myself, you know, people saying, well, I'm going to go third party. And, you know, I've had people say to me over the course of this election, you know, if we would just get enough people that would go third party, well, that would send a message to Washington and to the country. And while that sounds noble, and while that sounds, hey, this is something good, we got to fight, we got to do those things, how long does it take to actually get to a place to where, you know, you absolutely have the opportunity to do that, okay? And who are these third parties?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I read an article, Gary Johnson, who is kind of the leading third party candidate right now, he wrote an op-ed piece for the New York Times. And, you know, well, I'm just going to vote for Gary Johnson, or I'm just going to vote for Jill Stein, or I'm going to vote for somebody else who's not even named. I mean, you go so far down the list, you got to wonder, you know, what is the effect of my vote?
Exactly.
And I think that's really what we have to look at here is, how can my vote be affected in the right direction, in the right way? And so, you know, you take something like Gary Johnson, just for instance, and in his own words, you know, he lines up, obviously he's libertarian, so he tends to take even more of a smallest governmental view in that sense, if I can say that. But, you know, he calls for a balanced budget. He calls for doing better with the, you know, the drug problems and not dealing with them as crimes, but dealing with them as health issues and those type of things. He wants a balanced budget. He wants to cut up to 20% of all programs, including military spending, change Social Security, change Medicare. He obviously... he says we need to stop treating immigration as a bad thing. I support a woman's right to choose. I've long supported civil liberties, including marriage equality and freedom from mass surveillance. So, and there's other things about the building of the wall and those type of things and undocumented illegals and those type of things. So you look at that and you wonder, okay, well, what is my third party vote really going to do? It's going to supply really probably some mixture of conservative ideals, some mixture of liberal ideas. But as Christians, what are the things that matter to us the most?
Mm-hmm.
We're all concerned about the economy. Those who are parents, We're concerned about the economy. We're concerned, how do you deal with a $20 trillion debt? How do you deal with that? I mean, how would you deal with a that's like maybe you having a $200,000 debt and you know, we make what we make and you're going, there's no way, can't do it. I'm going to have to file bankruptcy. It's going to have to collapse. I'm going to have to lose everything. So we're all concerned about the economic things. But to Christians, that's not the most important thing.
Right.
Because we know if we do it God's way, the economy can begin to work again.
Mm-hmm.
So what are the issues that we, you know, to a Christian really matter? Life, obviously, you know, the abortion issue, you know, where is Trump on pro-life? Is he pro-life or he's pro-choice? Well, he's changed. Brother Al, have you ever changed a position on something?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, well, absolutely. I can't believe you because, you know, it doesn't matter because what you said, you know, what you believed 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it doesn't matter. Hey, 15 or 22 years ago when I got saved, okay, I didn't know anything about abortion. I didn't know whether it was right or wrong. In fact, after I got saved, until I read my Bible, because then I could, I thought, well, you know, if you're going to bring a child into a horrible environment anyway, you know, why put that child through that? You know, that was my foolishness. That was my sinfulness. And I'm reading the Bible one day. It says, God hates them that hands that shed innocent blood. From that day on, God changed mm-hmm. my mind. And so while I was okay and thought, well, there's nothing wrong with it, now it's absolute murder. So a person can change their positions. And, you know, so we hear this argument, well, I don't believe them. Well, that's different. That's different than a man changing or a woman changing a position. That's you making a judgment that you just don't believe somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't mean they didn't change.
And I'd like to go to two things that you said about changing positions. You said two things. One was you got saved.
Yeah.
God changed your heart.
Yeah.
You know, you received a new nature. When somebody comes under conviction of their sin and they realize that they're lost in their sin and on their way to hell and they put their faith in Christ, not only have we changed our spiritual allegiances, but the Bible says that we become a new creature in Christ. And we've talked about before, there are those that are saying that Donald Trump did trust Christ as his savior earlier last winter or something like
right.
that. Now, let's assume, and I don't know for sure that he has
right.
or has not, but let's assume that he did. That would certainly change a lot of his positions when you consider his background.
Sure.
But then there's a second thing that you said. You were reading the Bible, you got more information.
Yeah,
and the learning more information can change people's minds. In fact, closed-minded people are the people who will not allow information to correct erroneous beliefs. And
right.
and as you read in the Bible about hands that shed innocent blood, God got a hold of your heart in two ways. One, you were born again, so the Holy Spirit of God is working in you and bringing you under conviction of something that you held as a belief that was wrong.
Yeah.
And then you had information that corrected. And for instance, I've made mention on our programs in the past during the primaries, because Donald Trump was not my first choice. He was, yeah. we joked, number 17. That's the last one standing.
Sure.
But, you know, I said he's been all over both sides of every issue several times.
Right.
And he has been pro-life in the past, or pro-abortion in the past.
Right, yeah.
And right now, he states that he's pro-life. So
right.
what can we go on? Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, has, I don't think she's ever been pro-life.
Right.
Her life has shown no indication that she's ever been pro-life.
Right.
She believes the federal government should support abortion. She believes that abortion should be on demand all the way up to and including the day of birth, partial birth abortion. She believes, she does not believe in the sanctity of the human life.
That's right.
And she believes, and as does her vice president running mate, Kane, he believes also, as he said during the vice presidential debates, that he's personally opposed to abortion, but he supports the woman's right to choose all the way up to and including the day of birth.
Yeah.
How can you believe the Bible and support that? And I've talked with people who say, well, we don't know when human life occurs. So, and so for that reason, they're not pro-life. Well, Hey, if I didn't know if somebody was in an accident on the road and I didn't know if they were alive or dead, if it was in my ability to call 911, to administer CPR, first aid, or something like that, I would do it if I wasn't sure that they weren't dead yet or not, you know? Right. Unless I was absolutely sure they were dead, I wouldn't worry about it. But if I have any doubt that they may be alive, I'm going to do something to try to save that life. Why don't we apply that reasoning to the unborn children?
Right.
When does it become alive? Newsflash, biology tells us, science tells us at the moment of conception.
Right.
So that's just one issue where he has said something in the recent years that indicates that he supports life. And all the way up to the present day, Hillary Clinton is adamant. Abortion on demand, that unborn child has no right to life.
You know, and it's amazing too, and you bring up a good point. As knowledge increases, obviously we've got technology today without mm-hmm. a shadow of doubt, you can see that it's a baby in the womb. I mean, for my wife having seven children and going through ultrasounds and, you know, 4D, four-dimensional. I mean,
oh, it's amazing, isn't it?
It's amazing. It's downright scary because until they're fully formed and developed, you're kind of like, oh, man. But the reality is you can tell that it's a baby. You can see that
it is.
So, you know, there's a verse. I shared this a few weeks ago when I was talking about this. And I think this is to credit some of where I think Donald Trump is at right now, and contrasting this between where Hillary is, you know, the Bible says, the heart of the prudent getteth knowledge, and the ear of the wise seeketh knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I, while Donald Trump comes across very many times arrogant and confident, mm-hmm. and I think it's more confidence than it is arrogance myself, but he definitely has an arrogant side. There's no doubt about that. But he's very, very confident. But I don't know that that's the same Donald that's so confident when he goes into a room, when he surrounds himself with people on issues that are smarter than him. Now, I know he's made comments, or I know more about ISIS than the generals. And we know people say campaign stuff to get the crowds riled, and we understand what he's saying. And there's plenty of times he's looked back and, well, I really didn't mean that ever. You know, that
right.
was, you know,
he's like most of us are. He just says things without thinking right away.
How many times you've been preaching, and maybe you're not, I don't know. I'm the type of preacher. I get heated up sometimes and I'll say something and I look back and I'm like, oh, that was pretty stupid, you know? And then you say, oh, I got a little carried away. I got a little overboard. But here's a man who is seeking knowledge for betterment. Not surrounding himself with yes men and yes mm-hmm. women, which I think here's the exact point. Here's somebody who says, let's look at the evidence of what's around us now. Wait a minute, the evidence proves different than what we have always known. And so since the evidence proves wrong, I'm going to believe the evidence versus what my beliefs were.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you have the same person lives in the same era, the same technology, probably has 10 times more access to technology than you and I do. Looks at the same stuff, but refuses to change her ways. And in mm-hmm. fact, ingrains even and entrenches even deeper.
Right.
To say, okay, well, this is who I am. Deal with it. Like it or lump it. Get on board with us or else you're gonna suffer. You know, I think there's a, I hate to use the term evolution, but there's a change that is going on within Donald Trump. And whether that is he did get saved or whether he didn't get saved, the reality is he appears to be willing to listen.
Right.
And he comes across as an individual who he sits everybody at the table, says, what do you got? 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 Okay. I'm the guy that needs to make the decision. I'm the guy that's going to stand up. Now I'm going to take the rise or the fall on it, but I'm going to take your input. So let's go do this. And he goes and he stands and defends his position. And I like that about a leader. I think that's important.
Mm-hmm.
I think just the religious council he's put together with James Dobson and Michelle Bachman, and I'm sure there's others, Heritage Foundation, Hillsdale College, who's going to be influential in the selection of Supreme mm-hmm. Court judges. I mean, he's surrounding himself with people that you and I
right.
agree with. You mm-hmm. and I listen to. You and I respect. You and I mm-hmm. have listened to. And we've disagreed with at times. I mean, there's things with James Dobson you and I have disagreed with, you know, as far as with him. There's lots of things we agreed with him. You know, so again, we're all flawed people. And we look at, okay, well, this lines up with principles of truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so, You know, I think when you look at Trump, he says, okay, well, I'm willing to listen. Because he has changed on some of these, even the tenacity he would fight with certain things. He's not he's not as much of a bulldog in some of those areas and some of those things. He just understands, okay, this is the direction we got to go. And these are the primary fights we need to go after.
Right.
And I think if you see the Old Testament kings, even their brother Al, you know, not everyone did everything that you and I would have agreed with. Not all of them, you know, the Bible says some of them, they got the Sodomites away from the temple. Some didn't do that. Some got rid of the groves. Some didn't get rid of the groves. So, you know, in looking at those spiritual things, we wouldn't agreed with all the kings in the Old Testament. But we're not looking for a perfect candidate. We're looking for somebody who is going to, one, stop Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Got to stop. I mean, this isn't so much about endorsing a candidate. We already know what Hillary is. Just go to the website, and we'll talk about this maybe in the second half hour. I've got a list here of all of Hillary's policies, 175 of them that she wants to do, and Trump's policies, which are 53 of them. I mean, that just shows you the regulation and the overreach just in what they want to accomplish. And I would challenge you, one-third probably, and I'm just throwing that statistic out, but it looks like one-third of this is, well, the wealthy got to pay their fair share. We've got to enlarge and grow these things through massive tax increases, massive government intervention and oversight and regulation. And that's not something that, you know, this country has ever supported. This country has supported limited government, and that's why we have the Constitution. You know, here's a question, Brother Al. Which candidate is going to support and defend the Constitution?
Absolutely, because when you look at that, in the last presidential debate, that question was a question was asked about judges, and Donald Trump's answer was that he was going to nominate to the Supreme Court. And by the way, it's not just the Supreme Court, which there's an open seat right now, and then there's probably going to be two to three others at least during the next president's term.
Right.
But there's a large number of federal court seats. Yeah. And that's where a lot of cases are decided before they ever reach the Supreme Court. And but what I was saying is that he said he was going to put people who value the Constitution, he was going to put constitutionalists to the courts. And Hillary Clinton said she was going to put on people who had a progressive idea, the Constitution is a living document. In other words, people who do not respect the Constitution as it is written. It's like reading the Bible. You and I read the Bible, and we want the Bible to speak to us, and we want to see what it says. Other people read the Bible, and they read into it what they want.
Yeah.
You know, pretext versus context. And
I remember the president said something about that, and we're just about out of time for the first half hour here. But I remember him say, he said, you don't focus on the things that the Constitution restricts you on, the things it tells you not to do. You focus on the things it doesn't tell you or tell you what you can do. And it was something, I'm sure I butchered that, but to the point of, okay, well, we're not going to let it restrict us. It doesn't talk about these things, so let's focus on these things. And I think that's been the policy, policy structure. Well, we'll get back in on the other side here. We're going to take a short break, and we'll come back here in just a few moments, and we're going to continue our discussion today. And so we'll have, if you want to get on the phones, 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. We'll get to some calls after the break, and we'll pick up our topic here in just a little bit.
All right. And I think we have just about those numbers again, 888-677-9673. And stay tuned. We'll have those phones open and you can call in.
You have been listening to For the Cause of Christ with Pastor John Lutz from the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood. Pastor Lutz and the congregation would like to extend a cordial invitation for you to join them at any of their services. Sunday morning worship is at 11, the Sunday evening service is at 6, and the Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. North Coast Baptist Church is located at 2051 Quail Street in Lakewood. For directions or more information, please call 216-521-3800. That's 216-521-3800. or send an email to northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. That's northcoastbaptist@sbcglobal.net. Thank you for listening. This program has been sponsored by the North Coast Baptist Church of Lakewood, Ohio.